58 years. Oh, she's going to keep him now that he knows how to clean tables and everything. He's good to go. Some of y'all saw Facebook. Oh, that's awesome. 58 years. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Amen. It is so good to see Brother Michael, Miss Erica, and their kids. They are from the other New Hope Baptist Church. They're right down the road from my house. That was the closest I ever drove to go preach somewhere. It was amazing. I could get up and be there in like 7 minutes. It was so good. They have not called me back yet, but I'll let you know when they do. You see how far I have to drive to find a church to let me preach? But they had to drive this time, so I can't believe they did it either, though, brother. Brother Tim was saying they couldn't believe he'd come hear me like that, but I'm glad that they drove that far. I appreciate it. I preached over there for quite a while, off and on. We'd have singing dates and stuff like that, and Brother Michael just kept calling me back. He's a deacon in the church there, so he just kept calling me back. Can you add a date here? Give me a free date there. So I did that for quite a while, and they had really good services. I don't know if y'all still do it that way. Do y'all still do the 9 and the 10 thing? That's what I'm talking about. Well, we got out early, folks. Early. Start early and get out early. Amen? I'm thinking about changing. He was on the committee. I think he's off of it now. Y'all know how much I love committees. He knows how much I love committees too. He's the reason why I love them so much. I appreciate that. I need it. People like Brother Tim, you got to have a lot of prayer. I need it. Psalms 100. I've been working all week. We've been working really late and really hard, and I didn't know what I was going to preach, and I'd study every minute I'd get a break. I'd try to study some and try to throw something together and asking God to give me something, and I was dead set on preaching Psalms 102, which is just right there. In my Bible, it's right there beside it, and I was dead determined I was going to preach Psalms 102. I thought that was what I was going to do, and then yesterday we got done loading. And a guy that came from Digitech to set up our printers, his name's Enner. That's a cool name right there, Enner. He was sitting there talking about something. He said something about, you got to just make a joyful noise every once in a while. And I don't know why it hit me so well, but it hit me really, really good. So I thought, I turned to Psalms 100, I read it, and I was like, you know what, God? I'm going to go with it. I ain't got no notes, but I'm going to go with it anyways. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is good. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and in His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day that You've given us, Lord. Thank You so much for letting us be able to get back in the book, Lord, and be able to just kind of brag on You, God, just how good You are. I pray that if somebody's not saved here this morning, Lord, they get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. That'd be the best thing that could happen in their lives, Lord. And it'd be great for the church, Lord. I pray that You just be with me. Help me be able to say the things I need to say, Lord, nothing more and nothing less. Lord, put me aside. Just let me preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Make a joyful noise. Now, I've always thought we put a lot more emphasis on the noise than we do the joyful part. So Brother Michael was going to sing a special this morning. Yeah, see, he says no like all y'all say no. That New Hope was the same way as this one. Nobody would sing. If I didn't sing a special, they weren't going to sing a special, amen? I don't understand that. I ain't figured that out yet. Everybody needs to sing every once in a while. It'll make you feel better. And I've been trying to get somebody to come just sing a special. I think it'd do you good. Dylan, you should try it. He's praying about it still. God hadn't laid it on his heart yet. But it's coming. No, you gotta. Oh, she was trying to get me to cover up something, right? They was yelling and screaming because the TV died. Amen. You gotta make a joyful noise. Do you have some joy in your heart? Do you really truthfully have joy in your heart? You know, as a saved person, somebody that's accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you ought to have just a little bit of joy. You ought to have a smile on your face every once in a while. Have a song in your heart just every once in a while. I get up, we were working, man, we were going down. I was so stressed out. I drove a low, and I'm talking about a biggin'. Does anybody know what that is? Got a big old boom that goes out there. We picked up 7,000-pound machines, and they are really expensive. Really expensive. And it was my job to drive the low. Yeah, that's what I said. Because I'm a manager. I guess that was my responsibility. And I remember sitting in that lull this week, and I'd sit there, and I'd have to sit there and adjust it, and they'd be sitting there saying, do all this, and up and down, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just shaking, thinking, man, if I drop one of these printers, my boss is going to fire me right here. And I'm just sitting there just trying to get it all right, trying to make sure nothing happens. Hey, make sure everything's secured, make sure everything works right. And I'd sit there, and I'd think, get done, and I'd just sit there. A song would come in my mind. Just calm my nerves down just a little bit. Y'all ever had those moments like that? When you just stressed out to the max. Ain't it amazing how God can just kind of, He can just kind of bring it down for you. You can be at a very bad place in your life, but it's amazing what God can do if you got some joy in your heart. He died for you. He gave His life so that you could have eternal life. And He died for you. You ought to have some joy in your life. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Well, we don't do that very well, do we? We don't serve the Lord with gladness. You know what we do? We serve the Lord and say, hey, God, didn't we do a good job? God, look at me. I did a good job. I preached a sermon. I did Sunday school. I came when I didn't want to. God, look at me. Didn't I do a great job? It ain't about you. You ought to serve Him when you don't want to. Just because He's that good. Just because He died for you. You ought to be able to sit there and say, you know what, God, it ain't got nothing to do with me. It's all about you. Miss Kelsey got saved last week. Amen to that right there. Yeah. It ain't got nothing to do with me, folks. It ain't the sermon I preached. It ain't the Sunday school that I did. It ain't nothing we did in the back over there when we were going through the Scriptures. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing Miss Paige said. It ain't nothing I said. It's just what God did for her. Just what God did. And you know what? We ought to serve Him with gladness because of that. That ought to put a fire on you. You ought to be ready to go. Amen? You ought to be ready to go. It ought to make, if that doesn't make you want to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ, then you ought to come to the altar just as fast as you can and get saved. Amen. Or get your life right. Amen. Because something's not right. Something's kind of messed up in your brain, right? That's the most important thing that can happen to somebody. Serve the Lord with gladness. You ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Goes on to say, come before His presence with singing. Man, there's a lot of psalms, and that's what it talks about, music. And I'm a musical person. I love music. I love everything to do with music. I like all different types of music. We were talking about that this morning. It doesn't matter what it is. I like all different types of music. If it's a good song, it's a good song. Amen. If it edifies God and glorifies God, guess what? Sing it and enjoy yourself. It don't matter if it's Southern gospel, if it's hymns, if it's something else. Whatever, contemporary, whatever you want to call it. It don't make any difference. If it glorifies God, enjoy it. If it glorifies God, enjoy it. Some people, y'all get nervous. He said contemporary. Y'all don't understand. Most of the songs y'all sing contemporary anyways. Y'all just don't even know it yet. I get up here and sing, all my hope is in Jesus. And everybody sits there in every Baptist church, independent Baptist, and just raise their hand. Amen, hallelujah. All my hope is in Jesus. And Crowder wrote it. Done messed them all up. Why? Because it's a good song. Just because Gold City recorded it didn't change where it came from. It's a good song. All my hope is in Jesus. You think about all the songs. Do you ever wake up and just have one on your mind? You know, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. You ever think about it? You ever go on and say something like, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. You ever just got excited about it? I pitched that one too high. Did you like that? You don't always have to be a good singer. I think sometimes that's what we get in our mind when we read scriptures like Psalms 100. It's about being a good singer or being able to carry a note, and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you think you got to be able to sing. It's talking about your heart. It's talking about having that song in your heart. You ain't got to get up here and do it, and I pick on you about it because I do want people to be involved. I want you to come to church and be involved doing something. If you can sing, guess what? Sing. If you can't, that's fine. I sit back and think about some revivals I've been in. When I was a kid, Daddy used to take us to revivals for vacation. Amen. I've been in more church than y'all can imagine. My whole life has consisted of church. And I remember going to those revivals, and I remember I've been involved in doing some type of music since I was at least about 15 years old. I went to music school, did all this stuff, took voice lessons and all that stuff. So I remember as a 15-year-old boy going to Georgia. We'd go to a revival every year in Georgia. And I remember the first time that I heard this older lady get up and sing at that church in Georgia. I thought she was the worst singer I have ever heard in my life. She could not carry a tune in a bucket. She didn't even have the bucket to carry it with. It was awful. It was awful. And I remember sitting there on that pew, all them preachers, and all those people in that church. I mean, there was probably 700-800 people in that church. And it was one of the biggest nights of their revival. And I'm sitting there thinking, boy, you thought you'd have got the good one to sing this night. I mean, you thought you'd have got somebody to get up there and just, you know, just rear back and let them have it. And she got up there, man, and she just kind of stood there. And she wouldn't get up in this area. So she'd just kind of stand there beside the remembrance. She'd hold on to that remembrance table. And she starts singing. And I remember her singing, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. She made it right there. And all of a sudden, she started sounding good. I mean, it was like somebody went, And church happened before they ever got to preaching. Just because she started singing. Why? Because she knew what she was singing about. See, she knew exactly what God had done in her life. She served the Lord with gladness. She had joy in her heart because of what God had done for her. And she gets up and sings this song, and although it may have not been pleasing to the ears, guess what? She had her heart right. Sometimes that's better than somebody that can sing good, because I've heard a lot of good singers. Yeah. I've been in the industry for a long time. I can tell you some great singers. I mean, vocally, they are just above and beyond everybody. But when they get up and sing the songs, you don't feel it. I mean, when they get up and sing Amazing Grace, when everybody can feel that, guess what? You don't feel it. Why? Because they don't even know what they're singing about. They just singing to sound pretty, right? They just singing to try to impress you. That old lady, she wasn't worried about impressing anybody. She was worried about singing to the Lord. She was serving the Lord with gladness. She had some joy in her heart. She was making a joyful noise unto the Lord, not unto people. We're too busy trying to impress people. It ain't about impressing people, folks. I want to do a good job in everything I do. I know Brother Scott, they gets over here and leads music. Miss Barb, she plays the piano. And they want to do the best job they can. I'm sure you practice, and I'm sure you think about the songs you want to do, and you try to get it all together, but you know, it doesn't matter if it's always perfect. Sometimes you just have to enjoy it. We had a good singing service this morning. Had a really good singing service this morning. Felt like it was just a little more upbeat. That's a good thing. Why? Because God is good. You need to make a joyful noise. Know ye that the Lord, He is good. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Have you lost yours? You lost your praise? Do you remember like it used to be when you'd come to church and everybody would just shout amen till they couldn't speak no more? I'm glad we hadn't lost all of that. And you know, you hear all these preachers get up and they start preaching. What's the one thing that you always hear them say? They always sit there and they'll preach a topic and they'll say, amen, right? Amen, right? Amen, right? I'm glad I don't have to do that every 30 seconds. I'm glad you just kind of do it on your own. I may say it every once in a while, but I don't have to do it all the time. I'm not begging for them, okay? You see, some of you hadn't lost your praise yet. It ain't because you're praising me. It's because you're praising God. You say amen, you say hallelujah, you shout amen, you raise your hand, you do all this stuff. And see, we're good Baptists. We don't do certain things. Right? We're too dignified for that. We're independent. Bible-believing Baptist. Yeah. Snatch your little suits up and you look the part. I should have worn my tie, right? Amen. Would you bring my check if I wore a tie? That's an inside joke. I'm sorry. Well, we're good independent Baptists, man. We can't do certain things. Raising your hand, I mean, you don't see that very often anymore. Why? Because charismatic took that away from you, right? Charismatic took your amen away from you. And charismatic took the hallelujahs away from you, right? You know, you can still say hallelujah, amen, glory to God, that's right. You can say whatever you want to. You can raise your hand. You can stand up. You can run a lap if you'd like to. I'm not going to run with you, but you can run. I ain't running unless something's chasing me. If you see me running, you better start, because this fixing to be bad. But you can take a lap if you'd like to. It wouldn't hurt my feelings there a lick. I've seen them do all sorts of crazy stuff. Why? Because it's a show? No, because they got something to praise God about. Have you lost your praise? You see, I feel like we've gotten into that place in our lives where church is just something you just do. It's kind of like punching a clock. I'll show up this week, maybe, if it's convenient. You know, I like it when people go deer hunting and they still make it to church. I ain't got nothing against you going deer hunting. I wish I had time to go deer hunting for church. But you know, he made it to church. Amen. I hope I'm stepping on somebody's toe right now. Turkey season is the only time you get a pass to be late. Amen. The preacher is going to be late during turkey season. And I always thought about that, and my dad's always told me that. It's amazing how you expect me to be here, right? You expect me to be on time. You expect me to always be here. But what about you? Do you know if you don't show up, I have nobody to preach to, right? I'd just be at home, you know. You actually have to be here. If you want to get something out of the Word of God, you actually have to show up. You know, if the Sunday school teacher shows up every week, but you don't have any kids to teach, you studied all week for nothing, right? You love them kids, don't you? You want to see them grow in the Lord. You want to see them learn something. You got to bring them. They got to be here. And I understand there's always something that is something out of your control. If they're sick, if you got to work, if you got stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you choose to stay home. When you choose not to be here. Now, I don't get on this a whole lot, but I just feel like you got to get there every once in a while. You need to understand what's the most important thing. You want your kids to grow up and be good kids? This is a pretty good place for them to be. Okay? This is a real good place. Church is a good place for them to be. You want them to be good kids? You want them to actually know what the Word of God says? You got to put them under the Word of God. Amen? You got to put them under the Word of God. You actually got to have somebody that will actually stand for something, and you got to let them listen to it. I don't mind kids being in here. Sometimes we get to that place too where we don't want the kids to be in the service, right? I'm glad that we've got kids in the service. My little four-year-old's back there, he'll make a ruckus of something in the heartbeat. But guess what? He needs to hear the Word of God. She needs to hear the Word of God. There's a point when they're a little bit littler. You got little Cooper. I got little Elise, trust me. Whew, Elise. She might say amen too, or be preaching with me or something. There's a point in time when maybe they're a little bit younger, and I'm glad we have the ability to do that. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you want to leave all your babies in here, leave them in here. I ain't got no problem with it. The Word of God being preached to them is the most important thing they can hear. You want them to grow up to be good humans, good people, good Bible-believing people. They got to hear preaching. The Word of God goes on to say, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You ever thank Him? You ever wake up and just say thank you? Just thank you. You got your issues, okay? You got your problems. We got things that we're asking God to fix and heal and change. I prayed for Lauren. She was been in the hospital, and I prayed for you. I hoped you got better. I'm glad that you're here, and I've been praying for you. And I pray for each individual person like that, whether you really got something going on or not. I got a whole list of your names, and I just kind of say them. But when you got something specific going on, I pray for you specifically. So don't think just because I don't call you, I don't care. Amen. I pray for you. Why? Because I care about you. I want you to be healthy, and I want you to be able to come to church. I want you to enjoy the things of God. I want you to understand that somebody actually cares for you. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for it. Do you ever just thank Him, though? We can come to Him with all the problems. We can come to Him to fix all the situations. But do you ever wake up and just say, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for another opportunity. Because that's really what it is. It's not just another day. It's another opportunity to share Jesus Christ with somebody else. That's where we really mess up. Because we get up every morning and say, oh God, thank you for another day. What are you thanking Him for? Because He didn't kill you in your sleep? Huh? Is that what you're worried about? Is that what your life is? It's just another day? Another day that you can go do whatever it is you want to do? Or is it another opportunity to be able to maybe get to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ? That's what it should be. You ever just thank Him for the things that He's done in the past? True thankfulness towards God. Something that you sit there and you say, God, I'm thankful that You would die on the cross for my sins. I'm just thankful. I really truly believe that you ought to do that every once in a while. In fact, you probably ought to do it a lot. But at least every once in a while, you ought to sit back and just quit praying for all the stuff you want to change and all the things you need fixed and just say, thank You. And truly mean it. Truly mean it when you say, thank You, God, for whatever it is you're thankful for. You ought to thank Him for the bad situations you got. That hurts, don't it? You're going through a really bad situation. You're going through something that you're in the hospital. That was on my mind this week. I'm sorry. You're the topic. So you're going through the hospital. You thank Him for it. You say, well, how can I thank Him for this? This is a problem. It's something I'm having to deal with. Maybe you needed the rest. I don't know that you get it in the hospital, but maybe. Maybe God puts you in this situation to slow you down just a little bit. You ever think about that? Maybe you're just going 90 to nothing, and it's like God says, hey, put the brakes on. And you say, well, God stopped me, and I can't go now. No, just thank God that He slowed you down a little bit. So now you can enjoy the things of God. Verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And I really like this part right here. And His truth endureth to all generations. It ain't never changed. Not one single solitary time has the truth changed. It's always been truth. It's right there. It's the Word of God. It's perfect. It's pure. It's the pure Word of God. You just got to believe it. I never understood why you can't just believe it. Maybe that's just my mind. And I have preached long enough to know that not everybody agrees with everything you preach, and that's fine. But they can tell you, because I preached at their church many times, I ain't never backed down from that being the infallible and inerrant Word of God. Not one time have I ever backed down from that. And I will not. I will not. Why? Because it endureth to all generations. Even the next one. And the next one. And if God doesn't come back, the next one, and the next one, and the next one, guess what? It'll always be truth. And God will always have a preacher too, by the way. Amen. That's good right there. You ought to say amen to that one. I'll ask for that one. God will always have a preacher. That's how He shows you what the truth is. It's the foolishness of preaching, right? It's the foolishness of preaching. You got to have one, right? You got to believe in the infallible and inerrant Word of God. I'm thankful for a book that I can believe in. I'm thankful for a God that I can serve. I'm thankful that He died on the cross for my sins when I did not deserve it. I praise Him for it. I get up in the morning and think of redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Man, I am redeemed. And I don't deserve to be. But God loved me that much that he gave his life for me. And he put a song in my heart, so even when the bad days come, guess what? I can still praise him. I can still be joyful. I can still put a smile on my face, and it may be a little bit hard, but I can just think about the things of God and just say, that's good anyway. World may be falling apart, but that's good. Work may be hard, but he's good. Times may be tough, but he's still good. God's always good, no matter what. You hear the saying, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, right? They used to say that at Victory. Every Sunday, every time you walk in the door, they'd get up and they say, God is good, and everybody else would say, all the time. All the time, God is good. It's so true. He loved you that much. He gave his life for you. This morning, as this barber comes play, if you need to talk to God about anything, it would be a good time to do it. I preached fast. You ought to be proud of me.